straight out. Okay, yesterday we discussed if you find a grave.
Yes,
you're good. If you find a grave in your field that you didn't have permission for, right? So you can clean it out. We said if you saw three graves over there, then even if you clean them out, we say the whole area is tummy because we assume there's more graves all around and you can't have benefit from it. If there's a specific grave that you know was there and there's only one grave over there and it was done there with permission, then you can't clean it out. And if you clean it out, then we know the whole area is tar because you know there aren't any graves possibly over there. That was yesterday's discussion. Halacha Vav is a little bit different. What if we have a kever shehu mazik es harabim? We're speaking of a case where you find three graves, similar to Halacha Hey, but it's in a public area, so to speak, and therefore it's going to cause damage to people. Not necessarily three graves. Could even be one grave. I'm sorry. But still in all, but it's it. One second. Let me make sure I've got the right notes over here. No. Okay. So let's back it up again. It's in a public thoroughfare. And even if there are three graves, but you got to clear it out. Why? Because people are going to walk past that. They're going to be tame. Right? So Mafanen also. You're obliged to clean it out for the benefit of everybody around, as opposed to before the halacha was, you're permitted, in a private, you're permitted to clear it out. Here you have to clear it out.
You have to do it.
Yeah, but still, umakoma tamei v'asur bana, but the area is still tamei, you can't have benefits from it, but at least you've cleared out the dead people that are over there. So now, this is, I don't know if you can see the chart. Can you see it, or is it too small?
Okay.
I can't make it any bigger. It's not letting me on your...
should be able to.
Oh, I should be able to, but it's not.
No, I can do it here.
Well, you got a better phone than me.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we look in the chart from right to left, on the right says Sugad Kever, the type of graves, case Nimsa, you happen to find it where there wasn't permission. Below that's Yadua, it was known and he had permission to put it there. And Mazik, when it damages, it's in the public thoroughfare. So what's Halacha? So Nimsa, if you happen to find it was done without permission, you may clear it out. And even after you clear it out, but the area is still tame, and you can't have hana until you check to make sure there are no other graves. Remember, it's going to be three graves. So you got to make sure there are no other graves. If there's still other graves, then the place is tame, still usher bahana.
What's the point of clearing it
out? Well, you're allowed to clear them out, and then if you want to further check out if there's nothing else there.
Clearing it out doesn't help. It's still tame.
Okay, so you don't care. So you're going to use it in a state of tuma. You're not a coin.
No, I appreciate that. So why bother clearing it out if it doesn't help?
You don't want to have dead bodies. You want to plant a flower.
Can't plant.
You can.
So
you just say can't get benefit.
So you don't want to have them there.
No,
so,
but benefit is forbidden until
you further check.
Yeah. Further check.
So if you further check.
You just go halfway.
Okay, so
no,
you're allowed to get rid of them. They had no permission to be there. You're right, you can't have a no because there could be more, so check more and get rid of them.
All right.
That's the three steps.
Okay.
If you know there was something there and had permission there, then you cannot remove it, but there's only one grave over there, so then the rest of the thing is fine. In a case where they're damaging the Rishus HaRabim, then you have an obligation to remove it. And then you should further inspect to see if there's anything more, and then it's motar bahano. But if you haven't gotten rid of them, then they're osur bahano, and they still bring tuma. So you're really right. This halfway stage is not very helpful. You're allowed to clear it out. You might not want to have dead bodies there. And to the extent that you want to further get involved and remove, you can or should. And then you can make sure the area is completely tar. But without that, you cannot know that it is tar. That's versus the middle case where you know there's only one grave. Remember that middle case, Yadua, you know, you knew that somebody was buried there, they had permission, but it's only one. Mm-hmm. So that you can't clear it out, but everything else you know is okay because there's only one over there.
Mm-hmm. But don't invite any Kohanim over for a picnic.
Don't invite any Kohanim for a picnic. Okay, now if you want to look at this for the rest of the time, because really, I don't think there's anything else.
I'll give it back.
Till the end of the chapter, I don't think there's any more pictures. Okay, we're shifting gears now to a mace mitzvah. Okay, Meis Mitzvah has different rules. As we're going to see, Yehoshua made a number of takanas for the inhabitation of Eretz Yisrael, and one of them is for the benefit of a Meis Mitzvah. It's a takana, you know, it's nothing you can do about it. So let's see what he says. Hapogea b'Meis Mitzvah, a person comes upon a Meis Mitzvah. That means there's no one to bury the fellow, and the person who comes upon it, he has the mitzvah. You can't pass it on.
And you went not just in Eretz Yisrael?
We're talking about Eretz Yisrael right now. Okay, the halachas here are regarding Eretz Yisrael. There could be other related mitzvahs, but not this specific mitzvah. Let's explain it first. So im mitzol betoch ha-tchum. If you find the body is within the tchum, it's within 2,000 amos of the nearest cemetery. So it's within 2,000 amos of a cemetery. Well, then we have an easy solution. Meviela Beis HaKvaris, bring it to the cemetery and bury it there. It's not that long of a trek. That's only a kilometer. So it doesn't take that long to get it there and to bury it there. What if it's Matzah Chutz L'Tchum? Let's say it's outside of the Tchum. At that point, and listen, Afilu B'Toch Stei Charkom. Even of a field of saffron, which is supposed to be a very precious commodity, so it's going to be a very big expense. Here's the rule. Kana makomo, the dead body acquires the spot. V'yikaver b'mokom shenimtza, and he's buried in the spot where you find it. That's one of the takanas that Yeshua made. And for that condition, he allowed the Jews to inherit the land of Israel. This is what we're going to call it Yeshua's zoning laws. The zoning laws are, you're getting a piece of land. You got a piece. You all got a piece of land. Just want you to know, if we find a Jew who's dead, and we have nobody to bury him, we're not talking about a guy who's on a trip, and he lives in Hebron, and loves to live in Hebron, and he's on a trip, and he died. Okay, we take him back to Hebron. I mean, we're not talking where there's obvious answers to the problem over here, and the guy wants, and the family wants to schlep him back to Hebron. Talking about this guy, you don't know who he is. You know he's Jewish, but he's a loser, whatever you want to say. Like, it's not like family. There's no family. You understand what's going on? Let's say it's a convert. The guy converted, so he hasn't got no land anyway, and he dies. So what's going to happen? So if he's close to the cemetery, we bring him to the cemetery. If he's not, then guess what? If he happened to die on your field, that was the zoning laws that we put in, no different than eminent domain. If the city decides to put CN Rail through your backyard, you're not going to have a choice. You got to sell it, right? So the same thing, there's the quote-unquote eminent domain of the Meis Mitzvah that Yeshua...
Does it apply today?
Again, I don't think it would be the same thing because it's like we have cars, we have cemeteries all over. You can get to any... Look, how long did it take to get to go a kilometer? All right? By donkey. Okay, now with a hearse. Right, so it's a whole different... You got cemeteries everywhere. What's the farthest distance for a Jew in Israel to a cemetery? What's the longest it could be? I can't imagine. More, but time-wise...
Oh, half an hour.
I'm just saying, and that's with traffic. What about at night when there's no traffic? So I'm saying it's not the same thing. But you're talking about when the Eretz Yisrael with no cars and no this and no that. And
you know what would be Egla...
Agleg Ila Rufa. Yeah.
So don't they have to take him and bury him somewhere? They bury him right there.
Would also be L'chaira. I hear with L'chaira, it would be a case of a Meis Mitzvah too, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So would they? Don't they take him back to the city that's closest?
No, they bury him
no,
there.
No, you bury him there, and then you the city that's closest, you find a valley that's near the city that's closest, and you break the heifer in the valley. So that's nothing.
You bury the mace.
Not in the valley. He's a Meis Mitzvah.
Same idea. You bury him where you
that's for sure a Meis Mitzvah. Remember, that's the case. Nobody knows how he died. We don't know what's going on. Obviously, if he has a guy with family and all these things, then the family might want to bury him in the patriarchal tombs. Again, Meis Mitzvah means there's nobody to take care of him. That's the underlying thing over here. It's not like somebody you know and a guy's got a big family and he just happened to drop dead in the middle of the 401. It doesn't matter. We know who he is. We want to take him back to his place. We're talking about where there's no way of dealing with this guy.
To Mark's question about flying today, I mean, we don't have tribal lands. Yeshua is...
Okay, so that...
The benefit of having that, tribal land. So
I don't think it's applicable now. I mean, we have derivatives of Meis Mitzvah. What if a person dies and there's no one to bury him? So we're going to bury him in Pardes Chaim Cemetery. Right. The city's going to take it on, but it's got to be 10 Jews who are going to want to bury him. We're not going to bury him in the middle of Bathurst Street. It's against the law. So we take him to a cemetery. So you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Mace Mitzvah by being involved in the funeral.
Right.
That's how we apply that nowadays. Yeah.
But in those days, how could you craft a scenario where Kohen Gadol would sort of... Isn't the whole thing Kohen Gadol also has to do with...
Listen, I think it's more in theory than in practice. Yeah.
You have to become...
Because the Kohen Gadol...
No,
should
not be supposed to.
But I'm saying he's not... This is being outside the base of Mingdash. He'd have to be somewhere on the 401.
That's what I mean. How could you
don't think he'd be there before Yom Kippur. I think it's more of a theoretical statement as opposed to a practical statement.
That big temple that we've used...
Who?
The book. Illustrated book on the Beit HaMikdash.
Yes.
So there are a couple of pages where it talks about the Sanhedrin would send out scouts prior, 6 weeks or so before Pesach, to scout and mark where graves were on the roads or near the road.
Yeah, so people wouldn't become tummy. You're going to see some things over here about Chol HaMoed pretty soon also.
All over the place, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, it's not a good idea. You're not supposed to do that. We're gonna get into this as we move through the chapter. What do you do if you see a grave? You have an obligation to mark it. So we're gonna see, and we're gonna see that the Bezin did this on Chol HaMoed. We're gonna see. So that's all. It's all coming up. Anyway, so what happened? So according to the zoning laws that Yeshua did, he says the dead person, even though he's sitting in a very expensive piece of property, he acquires that place where he's found. And he's buried right there. Finished. And whoever finds him has to bury him. Mitzo al ha-metzer. We find him on a metzer. A metzer is a place where it's like a public thoroughfare. People are going back and forth. You can't bury him there because everyone's going to be tummy ohel if he's buried there. So he's going to have to be moved. But the question is, where do we move him? So therefore, the simple thing is, Mesachazon, you move him to the side. Yes. So in the middle of the 407, you put him just off the shoulder, somewhere where the grass grows or whatever, and just dump him, not dump him, you bury him over there. You can't bury him right on that spot, because everyone's going to be tummied. That's part of the zoning laws. Now, let's say you've got a guy who's, let's say on the road.
Near Pearson Airport on the 401, there's a little triangle of land and there's a little cemetery there right where all the interchanges are, because it was historically there. So
So makes sense. Okay, now let's say you're going to have to move the guy. So now let's say he's on the road. So we can either move him onto the right side of the road or the left side of the road. Okay, he's got to move to one of the sides. Mm-hmm. But the question is, well, the right side of the road has a certain special value and the left side of the road has a special value. Question is, which side of the road you put him at? So the general rule will be where it will cause the least expense to that place where he's going to be buried. If one place is more valuable and one is less valuable, you bury him in the less valuable area, generally speaking. That becomes the rule, as he will explain. And we're talking where you got to move the body. If he's on the saffron field, you just bury him on the saffron. He's on the 401, you got to take him off the 401. So if to the right... You've got one type of field, and to the left you have a different type of field. How are we going to decide which side he goes on? So it says like this. If you find state boor, okay, you have a field that has not been plowed, has not been planted, it's really fallow land on the one side, mitzadze. Ustay ne'ir, mitzadze. On the other side, we have a field that has been planted, plowed. So which one's the more expensive one? More valuable.
The plowed is more.
So therefore, cover of its stabor, you plant them on the fallow side, the part that nothing's been done, because it's less of a diminishment of property. What do you have? Stay near Ustay Zera. If what you have on one side, it's been plowed, and the other one's been plowed and planted, then cover of its stay near. You bury them in the plowed side. Okay. How about Stay Zera Ustay Kerem? You have a field that's been planted with vegetation, okay, let's say tomatoes, and the other side is a kerem, a vineyard. So now, which one are you going to bury him on? So we say, Kovro Bistez, are you doing in the vegetation one, which is worth less than a vineyard? A vineyard is worth more. Wine, it's going to be much more than regular vegetables. Okay, here's the next one. Now, here's going to be the exception to this general rule, because there's going to be another rule that's going to trump it. Stay Ilan. Now you have fruit trees. Ustay Kerem and a vineyards. So I'm just going to tell you in advance that the vineyards are still more expensive. But still, Kovro Bistay Kerem, you plant them in the vineyards, even though that's a bigger expense. Well, I can think of a reason.
It's longer to grow,
So the ohel and the...
That's it. If they all let to me, because the trees make an ohel. The vines are low hanging. They don't make exactly big tents. Trees make big tents, so there'll be more spread of the tuma. So even though it could be a bigger expense to Karen, but now there's a greater tuma concern. And the final halacha is pretty obvious. Hayushneim shem. Well, they're both equal. They're both a planted grass, or they're both plowed, or both the same. Cover and lays and such. You can bear on any side you like. We don't say the right side versus the left side, mystical. No, just whatever side you want. That's where it goes. That's a good question. One side belongs to Reuven, one side belongs to Shimon. Now remember, it's a third guy seeing this. Remember, it's a stranger. So you're the stranger. You see the body in the 401. So you know I can't bear him on the 401. Okay, I look to the right, I look to the left. Which is the least expensive or the least halachically complicated issue? You don't ask anybody, you don't have to knock on the guy's field, can I bury him here? You just bury him.
Yeah.
You bury him right at the edge, obviously. You don't bury him in the middle of the field, bury him at the edge. So he's the one deciding, so we don't ask Shimon or Levi, well, which one can I do? There's a halacha determines. On the other one, they're both equal fields.
Right.
So the stranger who's finding this mace, then he could pick whoever he wants. You know, if he wants to say to the guy, you know, if you want me to not plow for a little money, I could put it on the other guy's field. I mean, technically, if they're equal and he could do whatever he wants,
start a bidding war.
What do you do if you find a goyim in the world?
That's a whole different story. We'll have to see. Goyim are all different.
What if the Jew dies in a building? You move him out.
Well, he can't be buried in the building. He has to be buried a place. Remember, he has to be buried a place where there's not a rabbim there.
Right.
So you have to find the nearest... Again, if a cemetery is close, then you bury him in a cemetery. If not, you have to find a place that is not well-traveled, the closest spot that's not well-traveled. You'd have to see exactly where that fits. Okay. Now, halachas. Now, let's go back to a kever hanimtza. Now there's another question. Okay, let's say you find a grave. You didn't know about it, right? Now there's a separate issue. Besides the issue, what do you do if you're allowed to clean it out? And is it still tame, if you still clear John? But let's look at another question. Let's say you have this field, and you don't think anybody's buried there. And you had a big barbecue for your Kohanic friends a week ago. Okay, and now as you're plowing with your ox, boom, there's three graves over here. What if you had a Kohanic festival 5 years ago in your backyard? Mm-hmm. 10 years ago. Okay,
oops.
And let's assume, as a stretch, that all those Kohanim have been careful for the last 20 years never to be tummy. You know, they're always, when you invite them, when they invite them, you invite them to the barbecue, you say, any dead bodies around here? Any patriarchal tombs? Nothing.
Any skeletons?
Nothing. So now, at least today, the guy's plowing his field. Boom, there's three bodies over here. And 20 years ago, he had a big calling get-together because he was a very firm guy. He was very careful to have no dead bodies. He's really careful about all kinds of tumas.
He could have coined himself.
Everything. So now the question is, what happens to the people in the past? So, Kever HaNimtza, look at this. Metamel HaMafreya gives off tuma retroactively, even for a long time. Doesn't say how long, but we'll see. But it's a long time. It's retroactively for us to assume otherwise because it's been there.
Yeah.
If it's there, It must have been there for a long time. We don't assume it came here yesterday. Right. So we assume it's been a long time. Now we have an interesting law there. But what if in Ba'acher V'Omer, what if another guy comes along and says, Barley, I'm absolutely sure that I know, I don't know how, but he said, I know there were no dead bodies in this kever 20 years ago. That I know for a fact. How? I'm not exactly sure. Maybe we did a whole excavation. Maybe we had to, we redid the fields and we plowed it all up and there was oil spills and the government told us before we can buy the property, we got to remove all the, so whatever.
Yeah.
He says, if I know for sure, Soyakan Kevra Filu Kodam, even more than 20 years ago, I know there wasn't any dead bodies. So now you find a body. Today. What do we say now? It only gives the tumah from that moment on. So an interesting halacha. If we don't have that certainty, then we go back, it appears, for a long time. And anybody who has recollection of being there as long as ago as it was, we assume the body was always there. On the other one, somebody knows for sure there was nothing there at that particular time. Then we have a chazakta that there's nothing there. And now we have a body, we can only assume from night now and not any earlier. The first case, there's no chazakas anyway. So the dead body's here, you assume it's been an awfully long time.
So you need Columbo now.
Okay, now I know you could say, well, wait a minute, why can't we check with all kinds of testing now? You could tell how long the body's been sitting there. I don't know if that might make a difference in that, but...
How did they get rid of it?
Well, you get rid of the body?
Like 2 months.
They have to have 7 days in Paraduma.
Oh, okay.
But you can understand what mess is going on over here. That coin now, what happens to everything he's been touching for the last 20 years?
It could be the coin that
don't keep
it.
Good luck trying to undo the mess. Yeah. If you were Tame, yeah. then all those utensils you touched became a Rishon Latuma. So good luck trying to... kosher and take everything, whatever.
What about the people who touch those utensils?
The
people who touch those utensils that he touched.
So that's, you have to be more familiar with the laws of Rishon Lutuma, yeah. Sheni Lutuma. There could be all kinds of problems over here.
Crazy.
So that's why you got to be awfully careful with the Tuma over there. That's part of the business over there. Okay, we'll stop it here. The next subject is having to make markings on the cemeteries. If you find a grave that's an unknown grave, you're obliged to put up a marking. That's the discussion we'll have.